Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 112, 2020, His Will on Earth, part of the new series, Putting God and His Kingdom First. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on January 26th, 2020.
I mean, it just seems right that, you know, if God is there and He's on the throne and Jesus is beside Him and, you know, we're seated with Him in heavenly places, that in heaven, everything's okay today. You know, there's not a problem there. The sun is shining. It's bright. It's night. It's not gloomy. It's not dark. Nobody's depressed. Everybody's worshiping God. Everybody's having a great time. They have a big banqueting table. Maybe there's a big banquet going on. You know, they're not fasting. If they're praying, it's just because they're seeing Jesus face to face and having a nice conversation. So if that's how it is in heaven, and Jesus is saying we should pray that His will should be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we probably have a big stretch to reach that place, which I think is one of the things that Mew was sharing from her heart, you know, that she was stretching really to come to a new place of fellowship with God, a new place of relationship with God, where you can see His will come to pass. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, what's the process, you know, because, you know, I come from an engineering background, so I want to have the ABCs, you know, how do you do this kind of thing. But what you discover as you read the Word of God, when you're wanting to know what the will of God is, it's pretty much left up to you to discern. Isn't that right? I mean, God may speak to you differently than He speaks to somebody else. For example, Pastor Karen and I, we've been married for almost 50 years now, so we know each other pretty well. And sometimes, you know, she can give me a look. I know exactly what it means.
Amen.
She's giving me one of those looks right now, as a matter of fact. So I know exactly what those looks mean because we have a relationship together. Well, it's the same way with God. You know, He speaks to you in a different way, or He gives you that look, you know what He means, right?
Amen.
So when you feel that something in your heart that's a little scratchy, you know things are a little bit off, right? And then you have to kind of somehow try to find out, what does that mean exactly for me today? And it's left to you to discern that. It's between you and God, and you have to come to that place of discerning it. So how do we find out what the will of God is for us, for a year, for a day, for a month, for an hour? How do we find that out? Well, it's left up to us. So we find it out, you know, through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So you have to become familiar with His voice and learn, how does He speak to you? For instance, Pastor Karen and I, He speaks to us differently, because she said to me one time, you know, if God spoke to me like He speaks to you, I'd be crushed most of the time. No, so because He speaks a little more harshly to me than He does to her. So she's saying, you know, I don't know if I could handle if He said that to me that way. It's kind of like, you know, you sometimes have these things going on in families or between husbands and wives. You know, sometimes things get a little bit tense and a little bit harsh and a little bit too harsh, and then you have to seek forgiveness, you know. But when God's speaking to you, you know, it's Him. He's right. So there's no pushback, you know, or if there's pushback, you guess who wins, you know. So how do you find that out? Well, you find that out through the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Sometimes that voice comes to you through prophetic words that are uttered. Somebody has a prophecy, a prophetic word from God, and you begin to discern the will of God through the voice of God coming through another person. That's an important way. Or going to the Scriptures, you know, the Word of God speaks to us all the time. You know, sometimes people come up to pastor and they say, do you have a word for me? And I said, yeah, I've got plenty of them. They're in this book. You know, there's enough to fill 365 days a year from this book. You know, if you get into here, there's lots of words from God, you know, because you can't just turn the prophetic switch on and off. Sometimes God does give me a word for someone, like I had one for several people last week. But it's not a given that God would give a word. But anyway, that brings me to this place for 2020. At the end of our fasting time last week, God gave me a word, but it actually was a word from his scripture that I feel, that I sense is a word for this congregation, at least for those that are part of this body, those maybe listening by the podcast, that this scripture from Isaiah 54:17 is a word for us for this year. Now, Isaiah 54 has been an important part of this church since it was founded in 1995, because it's one of the scriptures that God gave to Pastor Karen and to me as we started the church. Isaiah 54 describes a lot of things that you should do. You should lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes. You should spread out your curtains, and God is going to give increase over that period of time. So it's an important chapter for us. But in 17, chapter 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." So some of the translations say there no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Here it says no weapon fashioned against you shall succeed. So it's pretty clear about that. You shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. So there's things that can come against you this year. But he says we should refute those things. In other words, cast them off, stop them from taking effect, etc. And that it's a heritage for us. It's like we have this inheritance as servants of the Lord. So this is an important word, because you might be going through some things this year. I mean, it's just because we become a believer doesn't mean we have just, you know, beds of roses of ease, of, so, you know, whatever they say, beds of ease, you know, that things are just easy. Sometimes we lie to people when we ask them to come to Jesus. We say, just come to Jesus, everything will be okay. And then the next day they find out it's not okay. It's worse than it was yesterday, you know, because there's an enemy out there. There's adversity out there. And if you let adversity take you off course or stop you from your relationship with God or relationship with the people of God, then you got a big problem. So things might happen, but the word from God to you is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Those things fashioned against you will not succeed. Amen. This year. Even if you're going through some things, you're having some trouble, you're facing some challenge, you're facing some issues, God is saying, take heart, because I'm with you. It's not going to succeed. Amen. It's going to fail. So maybe this is a word to my friends in Israel, because they're going under a particular persecution from some radical, ultra-Orthodox Jewish people, rabbis that are coming against the church, cursing them, putting curses against them, putting curses against their finances, against their families, against us here in VOJI, Voice of Judah Israel, the ministry that we have that helps them over there. So they've put that out. They've even signed their names to it and put it in the newspaper, this pact that they've taken together to curse this congregation and everybody associated with them. So it's a witchcraft thing. It's a Kabbalah thing, perhaps. Some of them are involved in Kabbalah, which is something that you maybe have heard by people like Madonna and others are involved in. But anyway, those kind of things can come against you, but the promise from God is Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper, because this is your heritage as those who are righteous people or from God. It's our heritage that we should stand in. So one of the definitions of heritage is inheritance. Another is legacy, something that's transmitted or acquired from a predecessor. So just think for a moment what this can mean for you if this heritage is from the Lord. If the Lord is our predecessor who is passing down this inheritance to us, if God is the predecessor and he's the one who's passing the inheritance down, think what that can mean for you, because that's part of this promise. So if you take this verse from Isaiah 54:17 as your promise for the year, for your covering for the year, as your covering promise for the year. I mean, God can speak other verses to you, give you other words and so forth and so on to augment it. But if you took this as your primary, do you think that would give you a really victorious, successful year? Because he's saying none of this stuff against you is going to prosper. And if somebody speaks against you, you can refute it. You can cast it down. You don't have to accept it. In fact, you should more than not just accept it, you should refute it. Stop it. Use your authority against it. Stop it dead in its tracks if something comes up against you. That's your heritage. That's your right. That's your inheritance. You got it from God. It belongs to you. He's passed it down to you. But you have to receive it. You have to take it to be your own if you're gonna if it's gonna work for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, for many this year, it will mean supernatural wisdom from God, it coming to you just right when you need it. Supernatural wisdom from God. For others, it'll mean direction from God coming to you when you just right when you needed the direction, it came to you from God. For others, it'll be protection from something that's happened, you know, from something bad or something disastrous happening to you. And finally, for us, hopefully all of us, it'll mean provision, God's supernatural provision for us. So this is a really, really important key word, I believe, for this year. So just remember, when things arise, just remember Isaiah 54:17. Amen. God's got me covered. He's got my back. He's got inheritance for me. I'm going to walk in that inheritance this year, no matter what this looks like right now. This has got to change because God said this thing against me is not going to succeed. So that's what I want to speak to you this morning. You know, our theme for this month has been 2020, putting God and His kingdom first. So we're including this in that theme, that this scripture is a key verse for us in this year. Now, I want to go. And finally, before I go to the book and have a story that illustrates this, I want to go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. It's the last verse of the last chapter of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant. Malachi chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Now, I can't read all of Malachi chapter 3 to you right now, but it's a good chapter to read because it's leading up to this verse that says, "Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." So if you as a child of God have an inheritance from Him, the people around you should be able to see the difference between you and the unrighteous, between you and the wicked people, between you and the heathen, between you and the unbelievers, the ungodly people. There should be a marked difference that people should be able to see. And God says in the last verse of the Old Testament, this is what it's like. People will see the difference. So with Isaiah 54:17 is our key verse for the year. People should be seeing the difference between you and somebody else that doesn't accept this, that doesn't accept God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is what we're believing, and this is what we're looking for. But now some might be saying, how can this be? Look at the trouble I'm facing. Look what happened to me. Because a lot of times, you know, we look at things through the prism or through the scope or through the veil of our own experience. And if you're struggling with something, you're facing something difficult, facing a difficult time, sometimes it's hard to see past that because it's on top of you. And you're living with it 24/7, 365. So I want to take you to a story in the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. It comes from the 27th and 28th chapter. It's a story of Paul. To give you some perspective when you're going through a hard time, because Paul didn't have it easy. He had it tough most of his ministry. I mean, he started out, you know, kind of bumpy because he was persecuting Christians, killing Christians, putting them in prison, going to the next place to do it, and God knocked him off of his horse. And after he got knocked off of his horse, he found out that all the things that he had been believing before were wrong, that God was requiring him now to take this thing that he was fighting against and promote it. So that's a pretty radical change, isn't it? It's going from this away to that away. You have to now have a whole new way of life because of what's happened to you. So his life was difficult because the people that were helping him to persecute the Christians before were now persecuting him and coming after him with everything that they had. And it finally ended up that he was in prison. So he had to face those things and those difficulties through the power of the Holy Spirit and overcome each situation. So in Acts chapter 27, we can't read the whole story this morning just for the sake of time, but the story is about how he's on his way to Rome, and they've put him onto a ship, and on this ship he tells the captain, you know, I don't think you should go yet because there's going to be trouble ahead. But the captain of the ship and the sailors, they don't listen to him because who is this guy? He's a prisoner. Who's he trying to tell us how we should run our ship, you know? I'm the captain, and then I'm going to run my ship however I'll run my ship. And so they took off, and they got into trouble as a consequence because pretty soon they ran into a big storm. And it wasn't just a little minor storm. It was a ship-sinking storm. It was a storm that was terrifying and caused them to do some other things. So that brings us to Acts chapter 27, verse 16. It says there, running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. That's their lifeboat, basically. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground in the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and were so driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed the next day, they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. So, is this a difficult time? This is a difficult time. Okay, so Paul has the promise of God that he's going to go to Rome to preach the gospel. I suppose never in his lifetime, never in his short or longer time of ministry did he expect to go to Rome to preach the gospel as a prisoner. You know, probably his dream of preaching the gospel in Rome was to preach as a free man because he was a Roman citizen, because he was an apostle of God, and to make that the final part of his ministry where he was preaching in the most important city of his time, bringing people into the kingdom of God as an awesome man of God. But here he's coming to Rome as a prisoner. Why? Because there's opposition when you're doing things for God. There's opposition if you don't do things for God, but there's really opposition if you try to do something for God, if you're stepping out in faith to do things for God. So he's facing this difficult time, and now the devil, rather than have the gospel preached in Rome, he's deciding, I have to sink this boat because on this boat has the man who has the possibility to change the world from Rome, even if he's a prisoner. So I'm going to sink him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to stop him. He's dead. He's dead meat because there's no hope now. So here's where Isaiah 54:17 comes in. Now, you say, did Paul know Isaiah 54:17? I'm sure he did because as a rabbi, they were required to memorize the Bible. So they knew the Bible inside and out. So when Paul writes in the book of Ephesians or writes in the book of Colossians or writes in the book of the Thessalonians or to any of these churches, the Corinthians, and he's quoting the scripture, he's quoting it from his heart because he knows these scriptures, right? Okay, so did he know this scripture? I'm sure he did know this scripture. And he begins to reap the benefits of this scripture. One of the benefits of this scripture is to have the wisdom of God. So let's watch here in this story how the wisdom of God comes to him. Verse 21. But long after abstinence from food, that means fasting. Everybody say fasting.
Fasting.
Abstinence from food. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So here you see the wisdom of God coming through the prophetic that's in Paul, but through the voice of an angel who's appeared to him to speak to him. So when you're facing some problems, some troubles and situations, and you need the wisdom of God, God has many supernatural ways that he can get wisdom to you.
Amen.
The wisdom that he passed on to these guys was invaluable. And you'll see through the rest of the story how it played out, because now he had their attention. Before, when they were on Crete and he was saying whatever he was saying, don't go, we shouldn't go, we shouldn't leave, it's going to be bad, it's not going to go well, was the prophetic coming through him. But now they were in trouble and he has their attention. So then verse 27 says, now, on the 14th night had come, as we had been, as we're driven, so they had been fasting for 14 days, I guess, 2 weeks. They were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took some soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, and when they'd gone a little farther, they found soundings, and they found it to be 15. In other words, the water's getting shallower. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, or the lifeboat, under the pretense of pulling the anchors out from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. In other words, the sailors were going to escape on their little lifeboat and let the others fend for themselves. But Paul caught him and said to the centurion, stop him. So the soldiers cut away the ropes and the skiff fell off. So God has provided wisdom for Paul, because here he helped the centurion avoid the disaster. And through the wisdom of God coming to him, these sailors were prevented from doing something that would have caused all of them to be lost. Isn't that amazing? It's supernatural, but it's amazing, isn't it? So think about it. When you're facing troubles, you're facing problems, you need the wisdom of God. God has ways to get it to you. If he has to use an angel, he'll use an angel. If he has to use a prophetic voice, he'll use a prophetic voice. If he has to speak to you just from his word, he'll speak to you from his word. But he'll speak to you. So when you're up against trouble this year, just think about, God wants to speak to me. He wants to give me his wisdom. So the second thing is that now you can have wisdom, but you need direction. I mean, if you can't apply the wisdom, if you can't carry out the wisdom, then what? If you don't know what to do with the wisdom, then what? Now you need some direction. Verse 33, as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and have eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head of any one of you. And when he said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So what does that look like to you in terms of our spiritual experience together as church family? The breaking of the bread, and it sounds like communion to me, right? All right, so he's in front of these guys, these heathen guys. Maybe they're not so heathen anymore. They're believing in the God of Paul. He's having communion, right? So he's taking bread and he's eating, okay? So, okay, where are we here? Okay, verse 35, and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Verse 36, and then they were all encouraged. Do you see that? They were all encouraged and also took food themselves. In other words, they're obeying the direction that he's given them through the wisdom of God. And we were all, we were 276 persons on board the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and they threw out the wheat into the sea. Verse 39, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for the shore. So this was the direction of God. He said, nobody's going to be lost. Everybody's going to be saved, but everybody has to stay on board. And if they follow these instructions from God, this direction from God, they're all saved. They're all safe. So let's see what happened. The next thing is protection. Verse 41, but striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, I guess he's had his conversion now, kept them from their purpose and commanded those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Protection. The protection of God. The supernatural protection of God. I mean, the storm was still going on, because if it's breaking up the back end of the ship, you know, it's pretty rough seas. If the front is stuck and the back is loose and it's being torn apart such that pieces of the ship big enough that you can hold on to and float to shore, that's a pretty serious thing. But not one person perished. 276 people made it to dry land in a miraculous way. Okay, so I'm going to stop the story there for right now. We'll come to the last thing in just a little while, the last thing being provision. But I want to look first at those four things, just three of the four things, and the fourth thing, which I didn't talk to you about yet, provision. I want to look at them just a little more closely. First one is wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 9 and 10 says, he has a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. So just think about this. The God that you have an inheritance from, he's this God, the one that's paid a full ransom for you, the one that's guaranteed his covenant to you forever. Covenant is not just an agreement. Covenant means that if somebody attacks you, God attacks them. Covenant means if somebody attacks God, you have to defend him. That's your part. Your part is to speak his word, to speak for him. His part is to defend you. Guess who gets the best end of the deal? You, right? Okay, so his covenant is guaranteed with him forever. What a holy, or a holy means to be set apart, to be separate, to be different, to be other than to be, I mean, it's kind of like off the page different. Indescribably different is to be holy. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. And then verse 10 says, fear of the Lord, that means respect. That doesn't mean I'm afraid of him, like he's going to kill me, he's going to beat me up, he's going to do something harmful to me. Fear of the Lord, but which means deep respect, awesome reverence of the Lord, is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. So in 2020, when something comes against you and you need the wisdom of God, God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing fashioned against you is going to succeed. Why? Because his wisdom is going to come to you. His wisdom is, what do I do about this situation? What's your mind and your heart about this situation? That's God's wisdom coming to you for 2020. How do you get that wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. It's the foundation of that wisdom. Your respect, your reverence for God, your relationship with God is the key. So if you want to keep God's wisdom coming to you, just keep that key in mind. As I'm respecting God, as I'm reverencing Him, as I'm holding Him up to be that holy and that awesome name, that powerful one who's giving me authority, as I'm respecting Him, His wisdom is going to flow to me. It's not I have to beg Him for wisdom. I don't have to, you know, don't have to do something good to get His wisdom. I don't have to be good to get His wisdom. It's part of my covenant heritage for me. It's His inheritance for me. But I do have to respect Him and honor Him. So when Paul said to the captain, you should have listened to me, what he was really saying is you should have listened to the God. You should have listened to God through me. You should have at least had enough respect to know that I'm a prophet of God. You know that I'm being imprisoned unjustly. You know all of that stuff. You know that this is a sham. This is fake news. This is, you know, whatever. This is a put up. This is junk. This is stuff. You know that they falsely accused me. I didn't do anything to deserve this. You knew that, but you disrespected God because you didn't take His word. He tried to save you. He tried to help you. Now we're in this mess. You should have listened. The wisdom of God was there, but you passed it up. But now the captain has a different heart, of course, because now he's gone through all of these things. And that's how sometimes people learn. That's the hardest way to learn things, is to learn them through the school of hard knocks. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, your reverence for God, your respect for God, your lifestyle with Him is what releases that wisdom. And then all you have to do is walk in that wisdom. Just receive it and begin to walk in it and begin to ask Him to show you how to walk it out. So how do you do that? It's the next thing, direction. Just see how these things build on each other. It's direction from God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 says, let not mercy or truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So the things from God that you've already received, He's saying, hold on to them tightly and don't let them go. Tie them tightly. Put them around your neck like a necklace. Wear them. Wear them on yourself. Don't let them forsake you. Write them on your heart. So when something traumatic is happening, some trouble comes and so forth and so on, have the Word of God in your heart so that you don't have to go searching for it in between the pages. I mean, it's fine if you don't know. Go ahead and search in the pages because it's better not getting it. But the better thing is to have it already written on your heart, to already have it in there. Amen? Amen. So get it in there. Meditate on the word day and night, the Bible says, and then you will make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. It's Joshua 1:8. So then verse 4 says, when you write them on the tablet of your heart, verse 3, verse 4 says, so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So, if you think about it, most of our troubles come either because of people or through people or because of something people have done, right? Many of them. Sometimes it's just the devil, you know, attacking you and so forth and so on. But a lot of trouble comes through other people. So he says, when this is going on and you have the direction of God, you'll have favor and high esteem in God's sight and in the sight of the people around you. The ones that are causing you trouble, probably. And then he says, verse 5, this is the biggest key in direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, don't be half-hearted about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. How many know that's just easy, right? Because I think I've got it all figured out, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Not I got this. God, you have it. Amen. I'm trusting in you. Whatever I figured out with the best of my intuition and my mind, that's got me to where I am. But I need your help. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. not half of them, not a couple of them, not here and there. In all your ways, acknowledge it. What does that mean? At every turn, I'm saying, God, I'm looking to you. I'm going to do it your way. I'm respecting you. I'm honoring you in this thing. In spite of what's happening to me, I'm honoring you. It doesn't matter what's happening to me. None of these things move me. And then he says, and he will direct your paths. So you got it? You're getting wisdom from God supernaturally. Now you're getting direction from God supernaturally. And he's directing your path. He's making your path straight, as some of the scriptures say. Okay, so the third thing. We could spend a lot more time on each one of these points, but we need to get through the whole thing here. So the third thing is protection. So what about protection? Well, there's one psalm in the Bible that is probably the best picture of God's protection for you in the whole world. It's Psalm chapter 91. Many of you probably could quote it verbatim, could quote it from his heart. I will say of the Lord, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the perilous pestilence, and so forth, and all of those things. You could go on and on and on. He'll cover you with his feathers. You shall not fear by the terror of night, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or destruction that lays in noonday. Even if thousands come against you and fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it won't come near you. So this is God's promise to you for protection. So in the middle of all the trouble and all the situations and circumstances that are happening to you, Psalm 91 is covering you. It's got you covered. The God of Psalm 91 has you covered. And because he has you covered, you don't have to worry or fear or get into fear or depression. Because he says, I will command my angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They're going to bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the serpent. You'll trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, the Lord says, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, showing you his salvation means he's showing you your healing, your deliverance, your safety, your preservation. It isn't just, I'm going to die and go to heaven someday. Amen. So this has to do with your life here as well as your life hereafter, because he's showing you his full salvation means all of those things. Amen? Amen. So here you see the first three things. You see the wisdom of God coming, you see the direction of God coming, and you see the protection of God coming. There's one more thing. It's his provision. Provision is Jeremiah 29:11. And I think I gave this scripture to to the congregation, but specifically to some people last week. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Another translation says, I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's from the Tree of Life version. Plans for shalom, the word plans to prosper you or plans to give you peace, means shalom kind of peace, the kind of peace that's described by that word. According to the blue letter Bible.org site, the definitions of shalom include completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. Completeness in number, safety and soundness in body, welfare and health and prosperity, peace and quiet and tranquility and contentment, peace and friendship of human relationships or friendship with God, especially in covenant relationship. All of those things are encompassed in that one word, shalom, which just technically just means nothing missing and nothing is broken. Everything is good. So when you go to Israel and they greet you, they say shalom. Yes. Why do they say shalom? Because they want you to have that kind of peace in your heart. And when they say goodbye, they say shalom, shalom. So God has some great things for you this year, 2020, but you just have to remember that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Anything that's fashioned against you is not going to succeed.
Amen.
So going into it or coming out of it or in the middle of it, just say, devil, it's not working. It is not working. I am not receiving this because God has my back. He's given me wisdom. He's given me direction. He's given me protection. And he's given me provision.
Amen.
So we're going to break for just a couple of minutes. You're going to be looking at that same scripture, Isaiah 54, 17, and discussing it among yourself, and deciding what does the heritage look like to you, and a couple of other things. Then pray for each other. We'll come back, and I'm going to finish the story of Paul, the story of the provision part of his story that illustrates these 4 points so well. So God bless you as you break up and talk. All right, so putting God first and his kingdom first is rewarding as he infuses your life with wisdom, direction, while providing protection and provision. It's really a setup for you to be a carrier of his presence and to powerfully impact the lives of the others around you. That's what it's really all about, to set you up in a place where you're really ministering into the lives of others and bringing them freedom, bringing them blessing, bringing them peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, bringing them the things that they always wanted in life but never knew how to find. That's what God wants to do with you. So I'm going to close off the story. We began a little bit earlier, the things about Paul and his shipwreck and so forth and so on. But how many have figured out that sometimes things get worse before they get better? That's exactly what happened to him. In Acts chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now when they had escaped, they found the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us around unusual kindness, for they kindled the fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling, because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand." Isn't that just like the devil? You're just about to victory, and he shows up. "So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice will not allow him to live.' But he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up suddenly and fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and they said he was a god." Isn't that amazing? So now we come to the part of provision. Look at this. Verse 7. "In that region there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. But Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary." So, for the worst of times, surely it's the same for the good times, because God never changes.
Amen.
He's the same in the good times and the bad times, and he's with you, and his promise is that no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's a present from him for 2020 for you. So take it, believe it,
yes.
Act on it, walk in it, live in it, and pass it on to others. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, I'll close with this. It says, "The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over." The way of the righteous grows brighter.
Amen.
And brighter. 2020, his will on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to remind you, and those also listening on the podcast, if you're within driving distance of Fort Wayne, we have a special healing services next Sunday, February 2nd. I know the week will go like it was tomorrow, but February 2nd, we have Arias, Alejandro Arias from Perth, Australia, visiting us. And he has a healing ministry. It'll be an awesome time. Sunday morning service, 10 a.m. Sunday evening service, 6 p.m. here at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne. So you're welcome to come and bring those who need healing. So God bless you, and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.